Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast is titled... Oh, man. I wrote it out so quick. All right. It's titled, I have written widgets, not midgets, widgets with a W, made in 1 minute. And a widget can be anything you want it to be. It could be a shoe, a blouse, skirt, book report, ebook. Computer, cell phone, cupcakes, lemonade, anything you want. All right. The question of the day is, how many widgets? Well, I'm going to ask two questions. How many widgets can you make in 1 minute? That's question number one. And question number two is, how many widgets can you make in 1 hour? Once again, the two questions of the day, how many widgets, and a widget could be anything that you want to make or can make, glass of lemonade, cupcake, hamburger, french fries, a shoestring, shoes, a dress, an automobile, could be anything you can think of. How many widgets can you make? And this is you personally. Hold on. We got three questions here. How many widgets can you make in 1 second? The second question is, how many widgets can you make in 1 minute? And the third question is, how many widgets can you make in 1 hour? Now, before we play our audio for today, which I haven't played it for the gazillion time, but we're going to play it again because I want you to listen to it and we like into the widget light. Widget literacy. Okay, widget literacy. Okay. McDonald's cranks out anywhere from 75 to over 400 hamburgers per second. All right. Once again, McDonald's. A burger that everybody within the sound of my voice can, you can make a better burger than McDonald's. But the distinction is, McDonald's pump cranks out, give or take, anywhere from 75 burgers to over 400 burgers per second. Toyota, depending on the day, I think they crank out about one car per 15 seconds. Okay, Toyota cranks out about one car per 15 seconds. That's four cars in a minute. As a matter of fact, let me go to my notes because I got notes on this. Because I'm going to play an audio that you've heard a gazillion times because I'm about to make an announcement on here. That you're going to think, matter of fact, you're probably going to have to have me certify that I make the announcement. Let's get to those widgets. And we got three questions of the day. Widgets made per second. And this is you, the individual. How many widgets can you make per second? How many widgets can you make per minute? How many widgets can you make per hour? Once again, a widget is anything that you want to make or you can make. It could be a cupcake. How many cupcakes can you crank out per second, per minute, or per hour? I'm doing this because some people need to start thinking big, huh? And I'm doing it because I've already closed the back door on myself. Let's see. I've taken so many notes from so many different people. Let's see. All right, McDonald's. McDonald's does anywhere from 75 to, over 400 burgers per second. Oh, here we go. Toyota makes two cars, and I have to correct myself. Toyota makes two cars every 15 seconds. That's nine cars that Toyota produces per minute. They produce on average 541.6 cars per hour. And they, on average, produce 13,000 cars per day. Now, whoever Mr. Toyota is just like you and me. They put on their shoes just the same way. The difference is the thinking. The thinking. And then once you get to think, once you think it's possible, a matter of fact, let's break this down even further before I go to the phone lines. I'm going to go to the phone lines at least once before we play the audio. Because like I said, I'm about to make a craziest cat shit announcement on myself as far as widget production. Oh, man. All right. Henry Ford here's a man who had like a fifth or sixth grade education. And I'm looking for him, but the notes might be in my other phone. Henry Ford, who had like a fifth or sixth grade education, he was, well, and Ford's in the, he's on the other side now. But Henry, you know what? I need to find those notes on Ford. Because basically what Henry Ford did was he broke down the making a car, and a typical car today has maybe about 30,000 different parts. So what Henry Ford did was essentially broke down the car, the assembly of a car, into about, it was like over 60 steps, 60 idiot-proof steps, though, where he can hire somebody that didn't know anything about automotive mechanics or nothing like that, and then he would take them and train them on, look, you put on steering wheels on this particular car, and this is what you do for the whole work. They just put on steering wheels. You put on your steering wheel, and on the moving assembly line, it goes to the next person that might put on something else mundane on the car. And then when it gets to the end of the assembly line, then it's a car as we know it. But he broke it down to it was over 60 steps, 60 simplified steps. Now, William Levitt, his brother and his father, just the three of them, when it was taking the average builder, and we're talking about large builder in the United States, about they would crank out maybe five or six houses a year. Levitt learned something in the Navy. He was in the Seabees, which is the construction part of the Navy. They were doing the same thing. He basically broke down the steps. Now, the steps to create his suburban home. Let me see, I got it in my notes here somewhere. He broke it down into, all right, here we go. Levitt, they broke down the construction process into 27 separate tasks and assigned a task to each group of workers who could go from house to house repeating their specific task at the building site. Trucks would deliver the parts and materials to the home sites placed at a 60-foot intervals. Then the carpenters, tilers, painters, and roofers arrived each in turn. They all weren't there at the same time. There was one employee who did nothing but bolt washing machines to floors. When that process was in gear, houses were completed at a rate of as many as 36 houses per day. Even at that pace, Levitt was hard-pressed to keep up with the demand. During the first weekend of building, Levitt sold 300 houses. So we're talking about people of average intelligence. Matter of fact, most of the people that are probably listening to this podcast are smarter than these. I mean, look, Henry Ford only had a fifth grade education. All right. So let's, before we go to our audio, for the gazillion of time, because like I said, I play it almost every day because it's, that's where my mind is. I'll explain that when we get to it. 253, your mic is open.
Wow, you said a lot with those making those widgets, and McDonald's, their biggest widget is surprisingly not the hamburger, but the actual building, real estate. McDonald's owns more real estate than probably any other company or individual anywhere in the planet.
Well, the widget of Wake Ray Kroc, where he became a billionaire, was not off the burgers and fries and shakes. He made it off, like you said, real estate. That was his. That was and still is his widget, although he's no longer here. But he's controlling it all from the Wake.
And Jeff Bezos, he had two widgets: affiliates, and fulfillment. Okay.
And add on another one, website. Because essentially, Amazon's a website.
Yep. Correct.
You're absolutely right. And with Airbnb, their widget is an app. They've got control of about 1 million rooms around the globe for rent, but their widget literally is a widget, which is an app on a phone. So with that said, we're going to play. Now, my widget are shadow houses. We've been calling them tiny houses here on It's My House. And I did a podcast earlier this week on chattel houses, C-H-A-T-T-E-L, chattel houses. You can look it up online. Chattel houses are what slaves built, particularly slaves in the West Indies. I've seen them, I've been to 3 hours in the Caribbean, but the one place where I spent the most time in this place was Barbados. And if you read up on it, what happened was that a lot of these slaves or former slaves in Barbados, when they went to work for somebody, the plantation owner owned the land. Okay. So what they would do is they would build a house that didn't require nails, almost like a Lego type thing, and where they can assemble a house quickly and then disassemble it when the job was over and they had to move to another plantation or another location. If you go down to Barbados or many or practically any islands in the Caribbean, you'll see these chattel houses. And chattel means movable. That's what it means, movable. Now, here in the United States today, you got the tiny house on wheels, so you can sort of say that's a type of chattel house. But the thing is, it's movable. You own it 100%. So I'm going to play this audio because the houses that we'll be dealing with are essentially off-grid chattel houses, meaning they're movable. Now, the question of the day is, for yourself on an individual basis, and the audio we're about to play, which is going to be on chattel houses, but you've heard it before, solar cabin. How many widgets, a widget can be anything you want to be. It could be cupcakes. It could be candied apples. It could be shoestrings. It could be shoes. It could be pocketbooks. It could be sweaters. It could be quilts. It could be automobiles. It could be hamburgers. How many widgets can you make in 1 second? How many widgets can you make? And reason why I'm saying you pick out a widget, because when you do the math on this stuff, all right, some of you that are in debt right now, you can get out of debt with as little as 5 or 10 cents if you produce enough widgets per second, per minute, per hour. Anyway, let's play this, and then we'll be coming back to take what numbers are you coming up with. And then I'm going to announce my craziest cat shit widget numbers as well.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of a, give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. Now, that audio, I'm going to ask you this question. I already got a number in my mind of what I have to do. And today's podcast is titled Widgets Made Per Minute. Widget could be anything you want. Now, this I play that because that's my widget, building that. So my question to you is, how many of those solar cabins could you build in a second, 1 second, 1 minute, and 1 hour? All right. Now, going back to the stats I gave earlier, Toyota, the typical car has about 30,000 different parts. But Toyota, assembles two cars per every 15 seconds, 9 cars per minute, 546 cars per hour, and 13,000 cars per day. Now, let's say you were only getting paid 10 cents per car, but multiply that by 36,000 in a day, and you got like over $3,600 that you can put in your pocket in a you know what? Hold it. Wait a minute. I made a mistake on this. 541 cars, 10 cents an hour. I mean, 10 cents per car. That's for 1 hour times 24 hours. Okay, that's a different figure. But in any event, how many widgets could you make per day? Now, with me, because we're running out of time here, I've got parts of that audio in my garage and in the backyard right now. So I've been just practicing with just the base, the foundation, just me alone. And just me alone, I can assemble a basic foundation, a deck block, within about 5 minutes, 10 at the most, because those blocks are heavy. Once you get the blocks in place, Because it's just like was nine blocks. It's nine debt blocks. That's it. And then you put the 2x4s, you fit them in like a puzzle on that. So, and then also broke down essentially the basic, the primary component parts to these places. The house that he explained is you have the floor, one floor, you have four walls, and he's got an A-frame roof. So essentially, all you do, what you do for the floor is fundamentally the same thing you do for the walls and for the ceiling and for the A-frame roof. They're basically the same thing. Now, you might have windows and doors, you know, depending on which one you do, but they're essentially the same thing. All right, so we're talking about one, let's see, five, six, seven. We're talking about eight pieces. We're talking about eight pieces. The typical car's got 30,000 pieces. Long story short is this. I went to carpenters because one carpenter told me it'll take them 2 weeks to build that. Another carpenter mentioned it might take, you know, if you really hustle at it with a couple of guys to help you, it might take 3 or 4 days. Other people, it'll take them a day. That's basically to put together the frame. But you know what I discovered? I was talking to the wrong damn people because they don't have the production mindset. Once I started to talk to people who mass produce, then I found out how to get things done. So my craziest cat shit thing is this. We plan on putting that together anywhere from 60 minutes to 90 minutes. That's the time frame. Because I already know me by myself can put that base together within 5 to 10 minutes. That's just me by myself picking up concrete deck blocks. Let's take one more call because we did run out of time, but let's just take this call before we go. 773, your mic is open.
Good morning. You got it down pat. Keep on rolling with it. That's the way it works. We want to mass produce. You got to put it down to where you can keep building. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. It's a real simple process. So I just wanted to listen in to you this morning, see how things are going.
Now, Pleasant is my primary. He's my primary coach on this, because after I talk to several carpenters, master carpenters, Pleasant, who's not a master carpenter, but he knows how to build. Okay, he broke it down in a way where it made sense. All right, so sometimes it might sound crazy, but it might seem like you're going to the right people to talk to, but I was looking at production. So he gave me the basic parts on how to get it, you know, produced, and then you just keep on working at it till you get it to that. Anyway, we're out of time. Strictly Business is on Monday through Friday. That's Pleasant Stephens Show. And Pleasant, what time is that tonight?
7:30 tonight. 7:35 days a week.
All right, and they had a nice way of nice conversations every night, but last night they had an extra special one last night. But
it
that number,
tonight.
Yeah, it sure was. That phone number for tonight is 516-387-1512. That's 516-387-1512. That is the number for tonight, and I will update you tomorrow. We'll get more details on building something within 60 to 90 minutes. That's the time frame. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.